Please join me in saying the Anabakoach.
Anabakoach, Gedula Chemincha, Tatir, Tzerura. Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi. Kabel Rinat. Amcha sagveinu taharenu nora. Kufrei Shayin, Sintet Nun. Na gibor dor sheyehudcha kevavat shamrem. Nun gimel dalet yud kaf shin. Barchem tacharem rakamei sitkatcha tamid gamlem. Betet resh tzadi taf gimel. Chasin kadosh biro tuvcha na El Adata. Ket Kuf Bet Tet Nunayan. The letters of the month. The pay that created the constellation Shor, the bull, the Taurus, and the Vav that created the planet Noga, the planet Venus. Together they have a gematria of 86, which teaches us through its gematria of Elohim, and the same gematria of the word Hateva, meaning nature.
Q&A mode is on. Participants may now unmute themselves.
Through this gematria, we learn that this is a frame of judgment during the month of Iyar. Yachid ge'eh lamcha p'nei zokrei kedushatach yud gimel lamed pei zayin kuf shavatenu kabel ushma tziyakatenu Yodea Talumot Shin Kufav Tzadi Yud Taf. And the eighth verse we say in a whisper. On the conference call there was some feedback and static, so I changed the controls. So in order to ask a question, you'll have to press star 6. I apologize for that, but I think that way it's better. You're not hearing any background noise or static. From the Parsha of Behar, which means the mountain. And in Kabbalah, the mountain is a metaphor for many different things. Behar can be Mount Sinai. It can also be the three mountains, which are Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So we have many different metaphors from the concept of a mountain. I'm reading from the fourth section of Behar in the Zohar. And his master shall bore his ear through, which is a very metaphorical mitzvah that many people don't understand. Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Konanei Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Konanei Hu. Levatardi Hu Becheru Veishtekach Beinaicha Yachavin Aleol. Joe, if you're hearing me, you're speaking in that funny voice. I know you're not speaking, but that's coming through. So please disconnect and call me back. Excuse the rest of you for the interruption. Mehahu atardi af peak leilecheru vi barnash yisarev lemepek lecheru kadaa. Veim amor yomar ha'eved ahavti et adoni v'gomer. Ha'vadai pagim le'lechai atar d'shavik ol malchuta dilela v'natil. Ol demare v'alda maketir v'higisho adonav el ha'elohim v'higisho el ha'dalet v'gomer v'higisho adonav el ha'elohim el ha'elohim sitam. Legabe hahu atar defagim le deha heinun Elohim ikre. After gaining freedom and finding himself at rest, a yoke is placed upon him from that place that brought him freedom, meaning from the secret of the seventh year, Malchut. If someone rejected freedom, as the verse reads, and if the servant shall say, I love my master, he certainly has thwarted that place, namely Malchut, since he has rejected the yoke of the heavenly kingdom and accepted the yoke of his master. What does it say of this? Then his master shall bring him to the judges. He shall also bring him to the door. Then his master shall bring him to the Elohim. Elohim is said generally, meaning he brought him to that place that he damaged, Malchut, also referred to as Elohim. And it's this verse in the Zohar is explaining it's explaining what most people don't understand, because when they read the Torah and it speaks about Elohim, they think they're talking about a frame of judgment. And the reason that the ear is bored through is that ear is the level of Bina, which is what is being rejected. Malchut and Bina are mother and daughter. They're very similar. And when we achieve our tikkun, they will be exactly the same. And when they're exactly the same spiritually, that means there'll be no difference and we will be living in the frame of Bina, no longer in Malchut. But a servant who's being given the opportunity to leave, to return, to be able to do mitzvot on his own, to truly choose his master and accept the yoke of the Creator rather than the yoke of a human being. And he rejects this. This is what is being referred to. And this is where the understanding of this mitzvah needs to come from. Does anybody have any questions or comments before I start our class? Okay. Last week, we had a prayer class, as we will this week. And the last week, we spoke about the Modeh Ani. Actually, we spoke about the Kavanah of the blessings. The week before, we spoke about Modeh Ani, what you do upon arising. And the next step in the morning would be to go into the details of various blessings. But as I said at the beginning, that is not going to be my pattern. I'm going to bring the more important aspects of the prayers. For those prayers that I suggest people start to do, that so many of us do not know about these prayers and what they are capable of accomplishing in our lives. And that's the class, today's class, which is not going to be completed today. This class could take 3 or 4 classes, but it will probably be done in 2. But today we are going to be talking about the 13 attributes of mercy. And so please go to the Yeshem.com website, and the page that it's on is /KabbalahPrayer.htm. That's spelled KABBALAH-PRAYER.htm. And then scroll down to the matrix, and the first item on the matrix is the 13 attributes of mercy. And that is the page we'll be, the handout that we'll be working with today. And probably next week we won't finish it, we won't continue it, because I want to do this while it seems somewhat unstructured. I want to do it in things that can be important and benefit you. And actually, one of the most least understood prayer statements, things that need to be said at holidays, is what we will be talking about next week, among other things. So next week is a very important class to be listening to. Or if you're not available, ask me for the recording so that you can receive the information. It's extremely important, as this class is. We have 2 sets of what are referred to as the 13 attributes of mercy. Many of you know the one set, and I'm going to sing it to you now. Later on in our class today, there's a place to connect to a recording. But the one that most people are aware of, they hear every holiday in most synagogues. Adonai, Adonai. Erachum v'chanun, erech apayim, v'rav chesed v'emet, notzer chesed l'alafim, nose avon v'afesha, v'chata'a v'nakei. Many blessings, prayers, phrases have 13 words. And frequently the sages have suggested that we use as a kavanah the 13 attributes of mercy when we are saying a blessing with 13 words. So I'm bringing this teaching about the 13 attributes because it's a general kavanah that will be utilized in addition to the general recommendation, which is to say it and sing it every day. And we will discuss that and why it's recommended to do that. Today's class will give us information about the 13 attributes. Excuse me one second. Thank you. today's class will give us information about the 13 attributes so that we can use the kavana more effectively. It is also, as I said, it's suggested that we say and sing the 13 attributes every day. The reason for why we do that we'll discuss as we go through this information. Many people know the 13 attributes from singing them when the Ark of the Torah is open during the holidays. But actually, there are two sets of 13 attributes. One is revealed in the Torah scroll when Hashem gave to Moshe this tool of how to ask for forgiveness. And this tool was given to Moshe after the chet, the sin of the golden calf. And the Zohar describes the scene is that because of the sin, the Shekhinah, the female aspect, wasn't present. And so Moses was talking to God. And God was saying, I'm going to destroy the Jewish people. I'm going to make a nation from you. I've had enough of these people. But the secret of this, and what Moshe was being hinted at and finally realized, and the Zohar brings this metaphor, it was like a husband and a wife talking about how do we discipline our child? How do we wake them up to start on the right path? What is appropriate for them to learn? So the father will start perhaps by saying, I'm going to kill him, God forbid. And the mother is holding him back, saying, no, you're not going to. Let's talk about what's right for this child to learn. And that was the hint that God was telling Moses. The same hint that was given to Noah, and the same hint that was given to Abraham. That Noah didn't take the hint, and Abraham took the hint only so far when he argued with God about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. But Moses took it all away. And in virtue of that, God gave him this tool of the 13 attributes of mercy. The other set of attributes is revealed by the prophet Micha. The Kabbalists teach that this set, which is revealed in the prophet in the book of prophets under Micah. Micah is one of the 12 lesser known prophets. But in his book, in chapter 7, the last three verses, reveal the 13 attributes of the partsuf called Arichanpin, dealing with the level of Keter. So, one of the questions, and I didn't discuss it in the handout, one of the questions is, if the 13 attributes from Micha is Arichanpin, and the 13 attributes of that come through Moshe in the scroll is Zeranpin, why would that be? Why would a prophet who is lesser than Moshe reveal something that is greater? The general answer to that question is the Torah scroll is in the frame of Zeranpin and can only be dealing with this frame of Zeranpin. But there are times that we need the higher level. And when those times occur, God chose Micha to reveal that. Now, if you look at the Hebrew on this page, and I apologize for some of it, I've tried to give you which is attribute number 1 and 2 and 3 and so forth. But because of the way the Hebrew and the English interact on my website, sometimes I've had to put the number at the end of the attribute instead of at the beginning, which would be more consistent. So please forgive me for that. It's something that I haven't, it's out of my control at this point till I figure out how to fix it. Let us read the three verses. You'll notice that there is no transliteration on these verses, but later on in the class, you will see the transliteration for each of these attributes. Miel kamocha nose avon ve'over apesha lisherit nachalato lo tochazik la'adapo ki chafetz chesedhu yashuv yirachamenu yikbosh avonotenu v'tashlik b'mtsulot yam kol hatotam titen emet liyakov chesed l'avraham asher nishbata l'avotenu mimei kedem. Please forgive me for my the way I read it. I'm so used to reading these every day, as we'll discuss why in a few minutes, that I was reading it from memory and also by looking at the letters, and I got confused because these letters don't have vowels, which I'm used to looking at in the Siddur. The translation of these verses. Number one, the first attribute, who is a God like unto thee? Number two, that pardons the iniquity. Iniquity is sin, mistake. Number three, and passes by the transgression. Transgression is another word for sin in Hebrew. Four, of the remnant of his heritage. Five, he retaineth not his anger forever. Six, because he delights in mercy. Seven, he will again have compassion upon us. Eight, he will subdue our iniquities. Nine, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. 10, thou wilt show faithfulness to Jacob. 11, mercy to Abraham. 12, as thou hast sworn unto our fathers. 13, from the days of old. Now I'm going to read you the verses in the Torah scroll itself, dealing with the 13 attributes given to Moshe, which are considered the attributes of Zeranpin. These verses appear in chapter 34 of Exodus, verses 6 and 7. V'yavor Adonai al panav v'yikra, Adonai, Adonai, el rachum v'chanun, erech apayim, v'rav chesed v'emet, notze chesed l'alafim, nose avon v'afesha, v'chata v'nake, lo yinake. Paked avon avot al panim v'al b'nei banim al shaloshim v'al revayim. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, Hashem, Hashem, number one, God, number two, merciful, number three, and gracious, number four, long-suffering, number five, abundant, In number six, goodness. Number seven, and truth. Number eight, keeping mercy unto the thousandth generation. Number nine is the thousandth generation. 10, forgiving iniquity. And 11, transgression. And 12, sin. And 13 has a general understanding of cleansing. But its translation is, and that will by no means clear the guilty. The verse continues, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, and upon the children's children, unto the third and unto the fourth generation. This is actually a repeat of words that are spoken in the Esther Dibrot, the first Esther Dibrot. And elsewhere in Deuteronomy, it teaches us that no man will be punished for the sins of another. And the only way to understand this aspect, and I didn't write it in the handout, the only way to understand this aspect is to realize that there is something called reincarnation. And it is a tool that Hashem has given us in His mercy so that we can complete our tikkun even when we've made mistakes in previous lifetimes. That we will return as our grandchildren. We will return in another generation. We will return to complete our tikkun. And so therefore, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children to the third and fourth generation is talking about cause and effect of our actions coming back to us in our next lifetime, up to four lifetimes. There's a teaching in this about reincarnation, but also a teaching in how many times we have the opportunity to fix a transgression, a mistake. We have three or four lifetimes to fix it. But that's not the end. At the end of that, if we have failed to fix it, hopefully we have fixed it. We've made the tikkun. But if we have failed to fix it, then we take the correction and split it into six parts. Each of those parts is easier to accomplish. And those six parts become the tikkun of six sparks of the soul. And this is the explanation for why the world's population increases. Continuing to talk about the 13 attributes. Give me 1 second. Go ahead, Joe.
I don't understand. You mean The more, if you don't fix your tikkun in this lifetime, you get another chance.
Correct.
And if you can't fix it, they split it up.
If you don't fix it, you're given four opportunities, and if you don't complete it, then you split it up and make it easier to achieve. But the soul itself, the desire to receive, is split up as well. It's lessened into six parts. And each of those parts takes one of the attributes, one of the splits of that tikkun. And this is the explanation, as I said, for why people, our population in the world gets larger. And it's also the explanation for why some things seem to be more difficult than others, because people have achieved that correction in an earlier lifetime in this process, even though they're in the same generation.
How do you achieve that correction? How do you know it?
As long as you're still in this world, you haven't completed it. You may have achieved part of it, because you have to remember, you have 613 parts of your soul, which means 613 corrections. And each of those corrections, each of those parts, have five levels. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, Yechida. And each of those, and it goes on and on. So it's a very complex subject, one of which I'm planning to do an advanced reincarnation series in the next few months to try and explain this to people. I don't want to take our time today other than it's a complex subject. It's difficult to understand, but it really is part of God's mercy to give us the opportunity to correct the mistakes we've made. Now we're going to be talking about the relationship of the two sets of attributes. The three closing verses of Micha invoke God's 13th attributes of mercy, which were revealed to Moses at Sinai. While the 13 attributes are revealed to Moses in Exodus, are considered Kabbalistically as their outer vessels. The attributes as invoked by Micha allude to the flow of inner blessing that is drawn down to the lower worlds through these vessels. And this is spoken of in the Zohar, in the Idra Rabba section of the Zohar, and also in the section of Naso, which we'll be reading in a few weeks. This is a very short explanation of the relationship. I took this from the Azamra website. It takes a lot of explanation, but simply, we wear garments, we wear clothing. So we have a soul, we have a body, and we have clothing. Each of these three things have a relationship to the other two. They cover the other two. The same thing is true in these 13 attributes. The higher level, that which was revealed by Micha, is covered by the lower level, that which was revealed by Moshe. But they are clearly the same aspect, just in different worlds, in different dimensions. Now, I could talk about this a long time, but it really helps if you've had the class of the Sefer Yetzirah so that you can understand the relationships of entities and words between the various worlds. The set of attributes revealed by the prophet Micha is the soul, while the attributes revealed by Moshe in Sefer Shemot of the Torah is the body. Body means external, soul means internal. The partsuf, which is a Kabbalistic term meaning a complete structure of 10 sefirot, arichanpin, large face, is at the level of Keter, while the partsuf zeranpin is at the level of the vav in the tetragrammaton. These are metaphors that students of Kabbalah do not necessarily need to learn in order to utilize the tools of Kabbalah. But as you study deeper, learning these metaphors is very helpful. And these metaphors will never become clear without first studying the four phases. But ultimately, know that you don't have to have this information and understand these terms to use the tools. They're available to you by virtue of you being a creation of the Creator. The essence The 13 attributes of mercy is energy that the Creator has promised to always invoke when the Creator's forgiveness needs to be manifested. The Mekubalim have a saying or singing the Micah set while thinking of the Exodus set during the morning hours, and sing the Exodus set while thinking of the Micah set during the afternoon hours. Now, this next paragraph that I'm going to read is very important. I bolded it. The Mekubalim teach us that the greatest, highest form of sharing is to give pleasure to the Creator by doing an action with His pleasure in mind. When we do this, saying the 13 attributes as described above, the Mekubalim teach that we are forgiven for any actions of ours that are negative. There may be judgments that are needed to be received as wake-up calls to change the patterns. For example, if I were to constantly spank my child because they upset me at their actions, but I'm still doing it. If I say the 13 attributes that tomorrow I'm going to spank my child again, how can I be forgiven for that action? And what this is really teaching us is that, yes, you're going to get some wake-up call about stopping to spank your child, but by saying the 13 attributes, that wake-up call is going to be sweetened, meaning it's going to come to you less painful. It still has to be a wake-up call. It still has to get your attention. But it doesn't have to be as severe. And the way to lessen that severity is by saying the 13 attributes or singing the 13 attributes. Now, later on in this class, we'll read, and I want to bring it now so that you're clear on this. We have halachot, we have recommendations. Halacha means pathway, roadway. We have recommendations on what to do and how to do it. And this is called halacha. This is what the rabbis reveal in the Talmud. This is what some of the Zohar reveals. The halacha, when it comes to the 13 attributes, is that the level of Zeranpin, the Exodus attributes, may not be said without a minyan. I'm making it very strong. The energy of these words is like the name of God. We don't say the name of God because the energy might be too high for our vessels. So we say Adonai instead of Hashem, instead of what the real sound of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei should be. The same thing applies to the 13 attributes of Zeranpin. It is such an intense energy that it cannot be said with less than 10 people. But it can be said if it is sung. Because the singing attracts entities. Singing is a higher form of expression. That's why I have recommended, and many of the Mekubalim recommend, that you sing all of your prayers, because it's a higher level. Let's look at attribute number one. Mi El Kamocha is connected to El. Now, earlier I said, Adonai, Adonai, El. Where is the Adonai, Adonai here? We will come to that. I will explain it in due course. Mi El Kamocha means who is God, who is an El like you. And the word El is the Exodus attribute. And you'll notice that there is the transliteration. So you are able to say, while looking at and thinking of the other one, you are able to sing the lower 13 attributes, the Exodus 13 attributes, while you are looking at the attributes from Keter. Attribute 2. No se avon rachum. Who did I lose? Give me 1 second. Joe will call back. Attribute 2 is who bears iniquity, who bears sin, and compassion. Now, compassion, we are taught, is connected to the Sefirah of Chokmah. Each of these 13 attributes on both levels is connected to different Sefirot. But it hasn't been revealed which ones all of them are connected to. The where I know which ones they are, I put it. Where it's not there, it means that I was not aware of it. Doesn't mean it's not true, it's not connected. It's just we're not sure which one. Attribute 3. Ve'over ha'pesha ve'chanun, and overlook sin and gracious. Now, what does it mean to be gracious? The Hebrew word that it's connected to is chen. The shorish is chen. I know chen very well because it's the shorish of my name, Chanoch. And I've spoken to you about this before, but just to be clear, grace, which many, many people in this world speak about, but don't usually define. Grace is chen. Chen is chachma nestar, concealed wisdom. Wow. Did I hear somebody?
I was in awe. Does it?
Baruch Hashem. It is amazing, isn't it?
Yes.
Attribute 4. Lisharit Nachalato and Erech. For the remnant of his heritage and greatly. Joe, you need to call back. You have that funny voice again. Attribute 5. Lo hechazik la'adapo. He did not retain his anger forever, and patience. attribute 6. Ki chafetz chesed hu, v'rav chesed, for he desires kindness, and he's abounding with kindness. Yashuv yirachameinu ve'emet. He shall again have mercy over us and truth. Yigbor shavonateinu netzar chesed, and suppresses our iniquities, and he keeps kindness. Please note that in the Torah scroll there is a large nun in the word notzer, or netzar. The large nun prevents falling for the people who see or say netzar. Another reason for the large nun is the word sar, the last two letters, means narrow and limited, which is the opposite of the Creator. The large nun makes sure we do not misinterpret the word to be a narrow 50, which would be a hint to the negative side. The narrow 50 is 50 is the 50 gates of Binah, and a narrow 50 is talking about the level of Binah of the negative side. So the Creator in His mercy gave us this large letter in the scroll. There are other reasons for why the letter is large, and we discuss that whenever we read that portion each year. Attribute 9. V'tashlich bimsalot yam kol chatotam la'alafim. I left out the translation of the Micha. So I'll have to look that up because I would hesitate to do that on my own. But on the transliteration, or on the Exodus attributes, La Lafim means for the thousands.
Can you skip over attribute 7?
If I did, I'll go back. I don't think so, but it's been known to happen. Attribute 7 is Yashuv Yirachameinu and Ve'emet. He shall again have mercy over us. And on the Exodus side, it's and truth. We're now at the level of 10, and I will add the correct translation for attribute 9 this afternoon, so when you come back to this page, it'll be accurate. Titen emet liakov. No, say Avon, you grant truth to Yaakov, and he bears iniquity. Attribute 11, Chesed l'Avraham, Vafesha, kindness to Avraham, and sin. Asher nishbata lavoteinu, and vechata, and as you have vowed to our forefathers, and transgression. Attribute 13, mi mekedem venake. And from the earliest days, and vinake means and cleanses. Why do we have 13 attributes times 2? 13 times 2 is 26. Metaphorically, we are created in the image of God. We are created with two arms, two hands. These 13 attributes represent, metaphorically, the two hands of God. 13 is one more than 12. 13 represents the idea of unity, as it is the gematria of Echad, which translates as unity or oneness, or the number one. 12 is a number that represents physicality, which is why there are 12 signs of the zodiac and 12 tribes in Israel. One more than 12 is 13, representing the coming of all of the components into the Torah of unity, into whole unity, into complete unity. This relates to the idea of mercy, because each component is part of the whole. The component does not lose its identity, but gains its connection to unity. And this is a very important teaching, because the ultimate goal of every person is to learn to love our neighbor as ourself. Ve'ahavta le'reacha kamocha. If this is the goal, does that mean that each person needs to be a mirror image of who I think I am? And the answer is no. Learning to love our neighbor means accepting our neighbor for what and who he or she is. Learning to love our neighbor is to appreciate the diversity that the Creator has created, and yet still being in unity, appreciating the diversity. Now you see two sentences on the page. One is, let's discuss the additional words from the verses for the Micah attributes. And the additional words for the Exodus attributes. I didn't have time to go into the Micah attributes because the important ones, and that's not to say that the Micah attributes are not important, but they're further from our level. Keter is very high. Zeranpin is our next door neighbor. So I took the preface of the time, because I don't know when I will get back to this material, but I will, in the course of this class, eventually come back to this material and expand upon it with greater and greater kavanah. Because there is so much here, as you can see, that I've just even touched the surface. But ultimately, what is important is for us to realize we need to say this every day, because we don't know when we make a mistake. And when we say this every day, we're given this blessing, this merciful aspect, to lessen the impact of that negativity. We say Hashem, Hashem, prior to the 13 attributes from the Exodus level. Rabbi Avraham Sutton teaches that the first Hashem is a connection to Arich Hanpin, the other set of attributes. And the second Hashem is a connection to Zeran Pin. And these two names, by saying Hashem, Hashem, we start the flow of the energy of the attributes into our world for cleansing and for sweetening judgment. The Exodus 13 attributes are used during the Slichot prayers. During the month of Elul and up until Yom Kippur, we say various prayers, various statements, various blessings, various songs, all designed to use the Hebrew letters and these 13 attributes and the shofar in order to cleanse and prepare ourselves for the coming of Rosh Hashanah and that judgment, and in for preparing ourselves to do teshuvah. We will say in that Slichot prayers, we add the earlier words, Ve'avor Adonai al panav ve'igra. Adonai, Adonai. The purpose of these words is to start the flow of energy. The purpose of these words is to bring the level of Keter lower so that we can utilize it for its cleansing mechanisms. And I have bolded this next paragraph because it is very important also. Normally, I do not tell my students that speaking these attributes in a language other than Hebrew is not okay. I teach you, speak to God in the language you understand. Try and use the Hebrew letters because they're more powerful. But try, if you need to speak to God, if you're saying a prayer, speak to Him in the language you understand, because He understands all of the languages. But when it comes to saying the 13 midot, the 13 attributes, other languages are not okay. I've given you the English translation, but no, it's not effective. Learn to say them, memorize them in the Hebrew. Because this is the procedure. This is what starts the flow. This is what works. If you are still not certain, remember the rule, never believe anything I say. But please try what I suggest. Try saying this every day. And you will come to understand why it needs to be said in Hebrew. The halacha of the 13 attributes indicates that the attributes from Exodus may not be said outside of a minyan, outside of at least 10 people. Never by yourself, unless you sing them. The attributes from Mika is better to sing, but you can say them. It's okay to say them. But the attributes from Exodus needs to be sung. And you now have two links on this page, which are recordings of my voice, and I apologize in advance. I don't have a great voice. And you can go on YouTube and find many songs and many chants and many tunes dealing with the 13 attributes. So do your research. Find one that works for you, that speaks to your soul. Just a little bit more today. Was there a question?
Yes, I have. When is it a good time to sing it? Morning, noon, night?
I'll say it again. Was there a question on the telephone? Okay, the best time to say the 13 attributes of Micha is in the morning. When you say that, you have the Kavanah of the 13 attributes from Exodus. The best time to say the 13 attributes from Exodus is in the afternoon. And you, when you say them or sing them, you have the Kavanah of the 13 attributes from Micah.
Okay, thanks.
No problem. The number of words in the attributes from Exodus is 18 when we include the two Hashems. And the number of letters is 67. What does it mean and how do I use it? 18 is the gematria of the word chai, which means life. Saying these words daily, the 13 attributes, leads you to a life eternal. And that is the kavanah that's revealed by the Mekubalim as you say it. 67 is the gematria of the word bina, which is the name of the sefirah. When we sing these words, we are connecting to the sefirah called mother, ima, as well as bina. Because the ima is, im is a partsuf, bina is the sefirah, but they have a connection together. It is mother that we must connect with in order to be alive. Bina is the energy store. It's the source of all. Wisdom and Chachma and Bina are constantly in unity. Chachma and Bina are constantly in unity. So we need to be aware of that. And this number of letters comes to teach us that as we say these, we are connecting. They may be Arich Anpin and Zer Anpin, or in this case, we're talking about the Exodus only. They may be Zer Anpin, but they're connecting. The flow is coming from Bina, from the energy store. As you can see, I've left room to go into the kavanah of each of these 13 attributes. But briefly, we'll talk about the Micha attributes. The number of words is 32. The number of letters is 142. 32 is the gematria of the word lev, heart. When one is singing these words, one is balancing all of the emotions associated with the word heart. 142 is composed of 100 plus 42. 100 is 10 times 10. 100 represents the 10 sephirot in their corrected form of 10 sephirot, within the 10 sephirot. 42, as we know from the Ana Bekoach, is a number dealing with creation. When we say these words, we are connecting to the energy of creation after the Gemar Tikkun, after Mashiach. I have given you a little bit of Kavanah. I have given you a lot of information for you to start to utilize in your own prayers, in your own connections, whether you do them daily or less than daily, hopefully daily. This is a tool like the Ana Bekoach. It's a very strong and powerful tool. Please use it. As I said, later on in this course, after you get some additional background in prayer, we'll come back to the Kavanah of these 13 attributes. But I wanted to give you access to this information because it's so important to your life. Start using it, please. Does anybody have any questions or comments?
I Bacha. Have a question.
Go ahead, Bacha.
So I can sing it like I'm singing Ana Bekoach in the afternoon in the car. I just have so much respect to that song. I mean, I know it by heart. I'm just saying if I can just sing it.
Yes.
As I'm doing it on, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Are there any other questions or comments? Here are some announcements. Today is the 13th of May. A week from Monday night is Rosh Chodesh Sivan. We will have a Rosh Chodesh connection to take control of the energy of Sivan on Monday night at 10 p.m. It's late, and I apologize for that, but it's due to the fact that I have so many classes on Monday. We go by the day of the energy. There are many people who make adjustments. They say Rosh Chodesh is a can be done at other times. Rosh Chodesh is a time of energy. It's a time of renewal. It's a time of a new energy. It's the same energy that we had last year at this time, but it's slightly different because our Earth is going through a different section of the universe. The Earth goes through around the Sun, but the Sun is traveling through the universe. Each year has its own energy. We look at the word that we call the name of the year, and we evaluate that. And you have access to that from the website. The energy of Sivan, the energy of any month, is the same as last year, but different. Monday night, the 21st at 10 p.m., we'll be doing a Rosh Chodesh connection for the month of Sivan. I'm also planning to start some new classes, advanced classes, on reincarnation, on Hebrew astrology, on whatever subject people would like to learn. Musar, the writings of Rabbi Ashlag or Rabbi Brandwein, whatever people wish to learn. I will be doing these classes. Some of them will be recording my own study. If you're interested in receiving these recordings and it's not a good time for you, let me know. I'll be happy to forward to you those recordings as they become available or make you aware of where the recordings are on the website. Does anybody have any final questions or comments? Have a beautiful week. Please continue to count the Omer, even though Lag BaOmer is over, and there are some people who say that because the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva stopped dying, we don't have to keep our restrictions up. The Kabbalists teach us the Omer period goes all the way to Shavuot. Keep following your restriction. Have a beautiful week. Shalom to all.
Shalom. Shalom, Joe. Shalom, Hanoch.